Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. We are the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and together with sound technician Walter Danesi, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Monday, October 27, 2025. We'll have a feature on the 55th anniversary of Federico Leluar winning a Nobel Prize, a medicine Nobel Prize in 1970. He's one of the five Nobel Prizes of Argentina. And we'll also bring back from the archive an interview that we recorded last year with Nicole Felter, who has a TikTok account called Yankee in Argentina, in which she tells of her relationship with the country because, well, she married an Argentine and she fell in love with Argentina to the point of becoming a citizen. She chronicles, her relationship, her ties to our country, and sometimes pointing out differences between the US and Argentina. It's very interesting content, and she came to our studio last year and talked to us. Very nice conversation that we'd like to share with you once again. The artist of today that we'll be introducing today is one of the top Latin urban music artists of the century, of this century so far. I'm talking about Duki, who filled stadiums in several countries: Argentina, Latin America, Spain. We'll be sharing, obviously, some of his most popular tracks. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslraya@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then, of course, Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way, it's okay for sending reception reports if you are at the EXA. Let's get started now with some music. We'll play some folk music with Los Hermanos Ábalos, the Ábalos Brothers, and a track called Carnavalito Quebradeño. Carnavalito is a typical music genre from the province, from the northern provinces of Argentina, and Quebradeño means that it is from the Humahuaca Gorge, La Quebrada de Humahuaca.
Que venga ese carnavalito! Venga a bailar.
¡Otra! noche yo hago un fogón donde quiera, carnavalito de mi querer, toda la rueda venga a bailar.
RAE, Argentina al mundo. RAE, Argentina 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
Today we remember one of Argentina's proudest moments in science. On October 27, 1970, that's 55 years ago, Federico Leluar, a modest biochemist from Buenos Aires, received the Nobel Prize in Chemistry for his discoveries on how sugars are transformed and stored in the human body, research that would become fundamental to modern biochemistry and medicine.Federico Leluar was born in 1906 in Paris, where his family was living temporarily. When he was 2 years old, they returned to Argentina, where he grew up and studied medicine at the University of Buenos Aires. His teachers quickly recognized his curiosity and precision, qualities that would define his entire career.Leluar began working at the Instituto de Fisiología under Bernardo José, who would later become another Argentine Nobel laureate. After spending a few years abroad, including time at Cambridge University, he returned to Argentina in 1943 and established his own small laboratory. And small is no exaggeration. He often joked that it was a kitchen.With test tubes. Funding was scarce, equipment was improvised, and yet the discoveries that came out of that humble lab would change the world. Leluar and his team uncovered the mechanisms by which the body converts simple sugars into complex molecules, essential to storing and using energy. These findings were key to understanding metabolism,genetics and diseases such as diabetes. In 1970, the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences awarded him the Nobel Prize in Chemistry, describing his work as a cornerstone in the study of carbohydrates. But Federico Leluar was as humble as he was brilliant. When asked what he would do,with the Nobel Prize money, he smiled and said, buy more test tubes. He refused to leave Argentina despite many offers from prestigious institutions abroad. He believed science could and should thrive here and devoted his life to proving it. The Leluar Institute, with still bears his name, became a training ground for generations of researchers and a symbolof Argentine scientific excellence. Federico Leluar is, by the way, one of five Argentines to have received a Nobel Prize, a distinction that places the country among the few in the global south with such a scientific legacy. Before him, in 1936, Carlos Saavedra Lamas won the Nobel Peace Prize for his mediation efforts in the Chaco War between Paraguay and Bolivia.Then came Bernardo José, who received the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine in 1947 for his discoveries on how hormones regulate blood sugar, research that inspired Leluar himself. Later, in 1980, Adolfo Pérez Esquivel was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his tireless defense of human rights during Argentina's dictatorship. And finally, Cesar Milstein, in 1984, won the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine for his pioneering work on monoclonal antibodies, which revolutionized modern immunology. Leloir's example remains deeply inspiring, especially in a country where scientists often work against the odds. His calm perseverance and his belief in local research are part of what makes him not just a Nobel laureate, but a national hero. Today, on the anniversary of his Nobel Prize, Argentina celebrates not only Federico Leloir's scientific genius, but also his faith in knowledge as a collective human achievement. From his tiny lab in Buenos Aires, he helped decode one of life's most intricate systems, proving that even with limited resources, greatness can emerge through passion, collaboration, and imagination. And today we marked 55 years of Federico Leloir winning the Chemistry Nobel Prize, one of the five Nobel Prizes in the history of Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo. RAE, Argentina 面向世界。
RAE,
Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
Coming up, an archive interview with Nicole Felter, a former American expatriate, the creator of the TikTok and Instagram account Yankee in Argentina, who shared with us a candid conversation a little more than a year ago. And we are bringing this back from the archives. It was a very pleasant and interesting conversation because we compare different cultures from an Argentine and in an American point of view. But that will be after some music. Let's have a track by Sui Generis, one of their many, many hits. Bienvenidos al tren. Welcome to the train.
Recoge y largo de aquí. En nombre de Cristo no quieras seguir. Si nadie me acepta, ok, ya me iré. Estoy esperando que llegue mi tren. Pueden venir cuantos quieran, que serán tratados bien. Yeah.
al mundo. Rai Argentina 面向世界。
Rai Argentina vers le monde.
Rai Argentina to the world.
Rai 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
Rai Argentina al mundo.
Rai Argentina al mundo.
Rai Argentina in die Welt.
Rai Argentina al mundo.
Okay, folks, a couple of weeks, months ago, I can't remember exactly, we talked on the phone with Nicole Felter, a former, well, actually on and off, American expatriate in Argentina, who started a TikTok and Instagram account that became quite popular, Junkie in Argentina. It was a great talk with her. And back then...she told us that she was going to come over to the country during our winter, or the western, the northern hemisphere summer. And I invited her to come to the studio. And fortunately, she's now here. Huh? She has been true to her word. Welcome, Nicole.
Well, oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
No, it's a pleasure. Finally, it's always better to talk face to face.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Well, Nicole, you freshly arrived. Just got back to you say got back to Argentina. I like to say what expression you use. Return to Argentina. Do you feel, you obviously feel partly local. What do you say? I'm returning to Argentina. I'm going to Argentina. What do you say?
No, I say I'm coming home.
I'm coming home. Wow. So what's the U.S. then?
Home,
too.
Home, yeah. It's complicated. I think when you're a foreigner who finds your place in the world in another country, they both kind of become home.
Exactly, you know? One is your first home and then is your adopted home.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated. Well, how are you feeling?
Oh, my gosh. I'm... So excited.
You look elated.
No, oh my gosh, I feel like I could cry in every moment. I'm just so happy walking around the streets, seeing everything. Just, I'm so happy.
Great. This is the first 24 hours since you got back, and you don't look tired at all.
No. I couldn't waste any time sleeping.
Yeah. It's, might be the adrenaline of the happiness. So, well, one of the things I checked out, and I said this is totally spot on your social media, the fact that you announced your return and you were able to arrange a meeting on the very same day with very good attendance.
I could not believe it. It's funny. I was talking about this yesterday, how in the U.S., you know, I've been in the place where I visited the U.S. after living in Argentina, you know, so being in Argentina for a year, going back, and especially in a small town where everyone is still around. To be honest, I feel like people in smaller towns don't have as much of an agenda as people in the city do, right? Mm-hmm. Just because there's a lot more to do,
right? Of course, yeah.
And so the thing I've noticed about when I went back to the U.S. and now coming back to Argentina is... I think in the U.S., one, you have to plan ahead and let people know ahead of time that you're coming to visit, so they make space in their calendars, mm-hmm. right, to say, okay, I'll be there, let me know one day. And I've had situations where it's like one big gathering of like 20 people at once, and then you don't really see them again maybe, right? Because it's like, okay, I did my task of visiting you while you were here. It was great to see you. I saw you
I can cross off that list and move on to the next task.
Yes, and when you visit again, I will see you again. Just let me know a month ahead of time. And it was incredible because, yesterday I didn't have any plans with my friends. I was making plans with one friend, and I said, hey, why don't we just invite everyone? So I just sent out messages at like 3:30, and I was like, does anybody want to get together tonight?
How many people showed
at
up?
At 8:30, like 7 people.
Gathering.
And they're not from the same friend group. They're all different friends. Like,
because it's a good occasion. I mean, somebody's coming back to the country, is coming to the country. You make space. You're telling me that doesn't happen in the U.S.? There is no spontaneity?
No, it's not that there isn't spontaneity. I think... that there is, but I think it's a deeper level of friendship. It's like, you are coming, I want to see you, I really want to be there and be in your presence, and I will drop everything.
Yeah,
where I think in the U.S. it's like, okay, let me know a few weeks ahead of time so I can make sure I don't make any plans. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a fundamental difference. And honestly, it's just very, I was very, very excited. Like, just so happy because, you know, that's just something that never happened for me in the U.S. And so,
That's true. People drop things too. And sometimes they exaggerate with that. They exaggerate with that because you may be expecting that. That's all. I mean, let's talk about everything. You may be organizing something. You're counting on some friends for a football game. So suddenly, a friend came from the U.S. Sorry, I had to go. It may be true. It may be false, but that happens all the time. Spontaneity works both ways, for the good and for the bad.
That's true. That's what my friend said yesterday too. He said, "No, I have other plans, but nope." I said, "No, I gotta drop everything.
Somebody
and I
suffer
have to be
for
here.
somebody playing a football game or a dinner or going to a movie or something. Somebody suffer for your arrival. Well, somebody pay for that."
Well, I appreciate their suffering.
well, great. So great talking to you. Well, you spent. Now you're currently based in the U.S., mm-hmm. East Coast, and well, I've been seeing on your account, on your Instagram account that I recommend everybody to check out. It's called Yankee in Argentina. You describe a lot of things about the U.S. to Argentines. Mm-hmm. No? You explain how things work. You bring down some myths that many Argentines have about what's the Northern Hemisphere life or the First World life or what. What can you tell me some of the top elements or top questions or the most interesting posts of these past few months in the U.S. for Argentines, the ones that had the most impact?
I think it's interesting getting to see it from my husband's perspective, right? Because I grew up in the U.S. So living here and people asking me things, I know that there are certain things that people wanted to know about.
Yeah.
But getting to hear things that surprised my husband was an interesting perspective for me, right? And so, like, the things that we've talked about is just the cost of living in the U.S. is so high. So high. I think when you're living in Argentina, and I think a lot of times in Latin America, people say, oh, you know, you're going to the U.S., it's going to go great, like, you're going to make so much money, there's so many opportunities. And while that can be true, it's not as easy as it seems on the outside, right? Because I think, of course, you can make a lot of money. If I was a single person and had no kids, I could, of course, have my job and then a second job, and yes, I'm making a lot of money. But I think otherwise, when you're working a full-time job, when you have kids and you have a family, it's very, very expensive.
Of course,
I'll say,
yeah.
Like, now they came out to say that in the U.S. now, if you have two children in daycare, it costs more than rent or a mortgage.
The daycare.
Mm-hmm, for two kids. It's just the cost of living.
Isn't there a public option like we have here?
No. No public options. So basically, all daycares are private. You do have some that are called Head Start that are, I guess they are public, but you still have to pay. But it's mm-hmm. a reduced cost.
Yeah.
But it's for people under a certain poverty line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
under the poverty line.
You need to be below a certain level of income to qualify for that benefit.
Correct. And so I would say, you know, like, I think that's just been really eye-opening, just throwing out some general numbers, no? Like, rent, living close to a city, can go anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 mm-hmm. a month, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then childcare can range for one child, it can be $1,200, $1,500, $1,600 a month.
Mm-hmm. What were the comments of Argentines when you were informing that?
They couldn't believe it because, you have a lot more options in terms mm-hmm. of support for childcare, right? And like being able to afford care outside of childcare.
Yeah. It's a series of factors and variables. I mean, you have to take everything into account when you make the equation, because if from the point of view of many Argentines who idolize or think of the U.S. or Europe as a great place to go with very solid economy, yes, they may have a lower inflation and more job opportunities. But if you add the daycare, the expensive daycare or the very expensive rent, which in Argentina is a little more affordable, well, you have a situation in which you can really transfer your life standard. You know, you may have some positive things. Well, everything, like everything, no?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think there are a lot of positive things about living in the U.S., and I don't want to take those things for granted.
No, of course.
But I think after living in Argentina, I just feel the culture and the style of living is just a little bit more my taste.
Yeah, yes.
But, you know, yeah, I think also just one other thing that I wanted to say is I made friends with this Argentinian woman, and she has a family, and so our kids are around the same age. And we were talking about the differences between Argentina and the U.S., right? And I think something that people don't really know about is how unsafe it is in the U.S., just the crime rates. Like, these aren't things that you see in the news, right? You have to know where to find that information. Washington, D.C. is very dangerous in my perspective at this time.
How dangerous? People think that Buenos Aires is dangerous. Many people who flee Argentina, they do it because of security. They move. I can walk without being mugged in the street, many Argentines say, when they move to Spain, for example.
So I think, one, now you're starting to see, like, motochorros, no? O sea, like, people who rob people on motorcycles. You're starting to see that in New York City.
Really?
In Washington, D.C., there's a lot of gun violence. A lot of gun violence. I just saw that a group of people...
Like robbery related, or yes, just people fighting each other with guns?
No, there's car robberies. There's carjackings all the time. Mm. There was this one woman who had her car stolen twice from a private parking garage at her apartment building. There was a woman, and these are just things that I read online, right? There was another case of a woman who had her mother in the car. She parked outside of a hospital to go inside to the hospital to get a wheelchair. Some woman stole the car with the mother in the car, crashed, and the mother died.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of violence in Washington, D.C., and in a lot of the major cities now. And I think that's something that people don't see, especially outside of the U.S. And so I was talking to this Argentinian woman, and we were talking about the differences in terms of, like, security, right, in Argentina and the U.S. And obviously it depends where you are. In certain parts of Argentina, it is more dangerous, right? But generally, I think the one thing we came up with is Argentina is more insecure in terms of maybe getting your phone stolen, right? Like, maybe somebody breaking into your apartment when you're not there type of thing. The U.S. is dangerous.
Okay.
You don't know who has a gun, number one.
Yeah, of course. That's a key difference.
You don't know who has a gun. I think there's a really big problem with mental health. There's a really big problem with the homeless population at this time, right? Mm-hmm. I think these issues were exacerbated during COVID. And those combinations, and drugs, right? The mm-hmm. access of drugs. You can find certain accounts where you can see places like Kensington, Pennsylvania, Skid Row in Los Angeles. If you look these places up, it's bad. These mm-hmm. are people, they're just towns with people who are mentally ill, need help, access to drugs. Yeah. It's very dangerous, you know? Yeah.
Well, there are all kinds of situations everywhere.
Of course.
Yeah, but obviously from the outside, you just focus on what you're after mainly, you know, isn't it?
No, of course. But that's kind of why in my account I talk about those certain things, because I think it's important for people to know.
Yeah, of course.
Not everything that glitters is gold.
Exactly. Well, let's move to another subject that you master. We're going to switch now, folks, a little bit to Spanish, because I want Nicole to give a demonstration of how well she masters Argentine Spanish. Bueno, vamos a hablar un poquito en castellano, cara a cara, como si fuese mostrando lo que sos.
Dale, perfecto.
Ahí está. A ver, decime lo más porteño que te pueda salir ahora.
I know.
Muchas palabras con llave, con Y.
Ok. Ahora me puse nerviosa. Bueno, le cuento un poquito. Ayer estaba caminando por la calle, me pasé por el edificio anterior donde vivía, hablaba con el portero, nos saludamos, ¿viste?
Okay. That's enough for the demonstration. Later on, she'll be on the Spanish show. But I can tell you, as an Argentine, that she sounds... like a local, not like an Argentine, like a porteño. And I want to know, because Rio Platense porteño, which is this type of Spanish that Nicole and I speak, is very particular, and it's got that sh sound for the Y and the double L. How long it took you to master the porteño Spanish? Was it from hearing other people? You paid extra attention? Because I've known a lot of people, a lot of expats who lived here for a long time, and they do not speak the Rio Platense Spanish you do. Like you really looked for it, huh?
Oh my God, I'm flattered. Yeah, so I think having grown up, I had a babysitter. She was from Puerto Rico, right? And they spoke Spanish in the home. And I think that helped being around that. Not that I was really speaking Spanish at that time. And when I came to Argentina, I thought I knew more Spanish than I did. And I was very surprised when I couldn't communicate at all. So I think growing up there, that helped me, like, have the ability to adapt to the language. But I think just wanting to, right? Like, I always wanted to learn Spanish because growing up with them, I was like, oh my God, I want to learn Spanish. So it was always my number one objective. I think also having a husband who's Argentinian and we only spoke Spanish.
Of course.
That obviously was huge in helping. But I think in perfecting it, for me, like, my number one tip is just don't be nervous, right? Don't be scared. I say things wrong all the time. Yeah, sometimes I'm just guessing words, and when nobody corrects me, I say, oh, that was right. No? So I think...
That's a great tip, yeah.
Yeah, so I
it
just...
It applies for everything, not just for learning language. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. Otherwise, how can you learn?
Right. And so I think that's been my biggest thing. Like, I just don't really focus on, am I saying this right or wrong? Because people usually correct me, or they don't, and then they laugh, and I'm like, okay. So, but no, I feel very grateful because it feels very good, especially being in the U.S. People are like, oh, you're Argentinian? And I'm like, yes.
Yes,
I am.
I made it. And speaking of that, you've also become an Argentine citizen.
Yes.
How was that? I mean, I never asked somebody how is it to become an Argentine. Is it a difficult process? Does it take long?
Oh my gosh, I'm like tearing up just because it was so special for me to be able to kind of like... have full circle moment, no? Be in Argentina, love Argentina, really feel part of the culture, and then to get citizenship and be like, it's real, no? The process, so we started during the pandemic, like mm-hmm. towards the end of the pandemic.
You were already married to yes. your Argentine husband.
Yes. Yes. So I got my permanent residency in 2018, and then I think we started applying 2021, end of 2021. I think the rule is you have to be a permanent citizen or permanent resident for like 2 years mm-hmm. and then you can apply for citizenship.
2 years of residency and then you can apply for citizenship.
I think, to be honest, my husband did everything for me with okay. this. So I left you all the paperwork. But I know I needed, obviously, you know, background check, all of those sort of papers that you need, birth certificate, all that. But I think what was kind of surprising was when I applied for my citizenship, I had to go to a local newspaper of the judge's choosing, which was Página 12, and I had to put like an announcement that I was applying for citizenship. So I guess at that point, if somebody wanted to contest me applying, they could tell them I shouldn't become a citizen for XYZ reason. Mm. And then once that happened, yeah. Then it moved forward from there. I got my letter of citizenship during the World Cup time. So that was really exciting.
Wow, that's extra emotional.
Yes. And then we were at that point we knew we were leaving and we were trying to figure out when I could do like the ceremony to swear in my citizenship, right? To sign everything and do everything else. And so we were pushing, and then we ended up getting the day after the World Cup to
after,
swear.
After which day of the World Cup?
When we...
The final.
Amazing. So I said, okay, this is either going to be a really good day or a really bad day.
This is fate.
No, it was fate. And so when we won the World Cup, I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Yeah, so I went the next day, had my the jersey on, right? And did the whole...
Sign your... What do? You sign a paper?
Yeah, they made me sign a paper, and then they said, okay, do you want to do the special act? Because it wasn't really... I was kind of hoping for a little bit more, you know, but they just asked me if I... my gosh, and I don't know how to say it in English. Okay, I'll tell you in Spanish, and then you can translate. Me preguntaron jurar mi lealtad al país y eso.
Yeah. So you swear your loyalty. You promise to be loyal to the country, your fealty to the country, yes.
Yes, but honestly, it was only a few minutes. So I was hoping for a little bit more, but that's okay. I got my video and it was good. And
well,
I'm excited.
Now it's me who's flattered. And I always share stories like this with my fellow Argentines, especially those who sometimes feel very disappointed with the situations this country put you through in terms of the economy. But there are lots of people that appreciate and value not the economic things of the country, maybe, but other things, to the point of becoming a citizen like Nicole just did. Well, this is amazing. We could talk for hours because this is so great. But before wrapping this up and inviting you to a next interview when you next return to your home country, I'd like to ask you what you're doing now back in the US. What's your occupation?
Thank you for asking. Nobody ever asks me this. Because I have, so I make my content. I don't make any money off of it, honestly.
No, of course. You obviously have an occupation there. You send your kids to daycare, meaning that you have a job.
Yes. So I work in events. And so I do the organization and logistics of events.
What kind of events? Congresses? Conferences?
No. At this time, I am doing sort of, how would I describe it? They're like panel events.
Okay.
And so I work for, right now I work for a company, a newspaper, a political newspaper in the US.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually called Politico.
I heard about it. Yeah, of
course. So I work there doing events.
Oh,
so
great. You organize. So what's your background?
My background is international relations. So...
Perfect. Bilingual, binational. Well, random question to wrap this up. What's best, Christmas in winter or Christmas in summer?
Oof. Para. Oh, my God. Okay. I think they both have their magic, but now if I have to choose, I will have to go for Christmas in summer.
In summer? Yeah. I mean, wearing trunks by the pool?
Well, no, I just, you know what? I just really love the food. Like, I love, it's hot, you got vitel toné, no, lengua la vinagreta.
Yeah, those are typical Christmas dishes, the ones that Nicola described. But still, many people still have here very high caloric foods because they, they took that from northern culture and they have like nuts and things that you shouldn't have with 30 degrees plus Celsius.
No, it's, I don't know. It's the magic of it, you know? And being with family, like, yeah, so.
Great. Well, that was Nicole Felter. You can check her content out mainly in Spanish on Instagram and TikTok, Yankee in Argentina. Well, thank you for coming, Nicole. All the best. And thank you for taking the time for coming to the studio.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for having me.
The next one, Mil Horas, 1,000 Hours. Why?
You know, I went to this Argentine festival in Virginia, and I saw there was this group that sang that song, and then me and my son, we fell in love with it. So
the track,
yeah. So that's
so you,
that's,
you recently know. You didn't listen to the song while you were here.
No, you know, I didn't get into national rock until I moved to the U.S.
Typical Argentine. They start valuing tango when they move abroad, and they start valuing national rock when they go outside Argentina. Well, Nicole picked a huge classic of Argentine rock, Mil Horas, 1,000 Hours by Los Abuelos de la Nada. Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks.
Hace frío y estoy lejos de casa. Hace tiempo que estoy sentado sobre esta piedra. Yo me pregunto, ¿para qué sirven las guerras? Tengo un cohete en el pantalón. Vos estás tan fría como la nieve a mi alrededor. Vos estás tan blanca y yo no sé qué hacer. La otra noche te esperé bajo la lluvia 2 horas, 1,000 horas, como un perro. Y cuando llegaste me miraste y me dijiste, loco, estás mojado, ya no te quiero. En el circo vos ya sos una estrella. Una estrella roja que todo se lo imagina. Si te preguntan, vos no me conocías. No, no, tengo un cohete en el pantalón. Vos estás tan fría como la nieve a mi alrededor. Vos estás tan blanca que ya no sé qué hacer. Lluvia 2 horas, 1,000 horas,
bonito llegaste, me miraste y me dijiste loco.
Estás mojado, ya no te quiero. La otra noche te esperé bajo la lluvia 2 horas, 1000 horas, como un perro. Y cuando llegaste me miraste y me dijiste loco. Estás mojado, ya no te quiero.
Argentina vers le monde.
Rai, Argentina to the world.
Rai, 世界に向けて Argentina.
Rai, Argentina au mundo.
La Rai, Argentina al mondo.
Rai, Argentinian in die Welt.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Today on Artists of the Day of Rai, we dive into the story of Duki, one of the biggest voices in the new wave of Latin urban music. From underground freestyle battles in Buenos Aires to sold-out stadiums and chart-topping hits, Duki's journey mirrors a new generation of Argentine artists who are reshaping the sound of Latin America. Let's play first one of his many hits, Nueva Era, New Age.
Enlazan con el yesan, el yesan con el duco. ¿Ya supiste, mami?
La firma pa' los cheques pa' mí porque yo lo gané. Un depto en Miami, una casa pa' mamá, el resto lo gasté. Esperaban que me caiga, no querían que ganara, pero nunca bajé. Querían cerrar el contrato y tener sus ganancias y se las dupliqué. El beat lo deshago, lo dejo en partículas. Tiro pa' atrás como la cutícula. Al lado de mi vida cualquiera es ridícula. Me voy pa' España, rompí la península. Usted en el banco, yo soy el titular. Foto portada, yo soy el titular. Me odio y me amo porque soy un bipolar. Dijeron mentira, no tengo vesícula. Si quieren trabajo que me llame, soy el boss. Unos pares ya se fueron, mami, quedaron explode. El avión para los hoteles, del hotel para los shows. Unos pares me llaman la voz de una generación. Muy buenas opiniones, pero nadie las pidió. Me merezco más respeto, fui yo que lo consiguió. Ya les había avisado que tenía la bendición. Tengo gente que cotiza cuánto vale una oración. Vale más que tu show, que tu flow, tu carrera. Te llenamos los estadios, mami, eso que toca afuera. Ya no me puede frenar, el tren del Duco no espera. Estamos en la cabeza, parecemos la New Era. El mejor de mi peso, Mohamed Ali. Mi arte no lo entiende, no jode Dalí. Cápsula del tiempo pa' subir aquí. Mucho entrenamiento, Super Saiyajin.
Viví colores de la J. Como los ositos Haribo. Mis deseos y padrino mágico, vuelo al Atlántico, ¿ok? En cada grano de mi fe, hay fe de mis fanáticos. Ahora me dice leyenda y entero un lunático.
Saludos a todos los fanáticos míos de Argentina. Estos cabrones están pendientes del resultado y en verdad se olvidan del proceso. La linda, ¿ah? ¿Eh? Ey, yo me siento duco en el quinto escalón. Ellos roncan y no me llegan al talón. Me veo hijo de puta que miras cabrón. Entré a la cabina fumándome un blon. Me suena tu estilo, estoy claro, tú tienes talento, yo no. Lo mío es un don.
This is Nueva Era, New Age, a song that perfectly captures Duki's spirit. Declaration of beginnings of someone who knew he was destined to change the game. Born Mauro Ezequiel Lombardo in the year 1996, Duki grew up in the Buenos Aires neighborhood of Almagro, surrounded by rock, hip-hop, and the rhythms of the city. He began improvising in freestyle battles, especially in the famous El Quinto Escalón, the fifth step competition, a place that became the cradle of Argentina's trap movement. In 2017, his single Rockstar exploded online. It was the track that took him from local fame to international recognition. It was raw, confident, and unapologetically his, blending trap beats with the swagger energy of a Buenos Aires street poet.
Me quedaba bien cuando me mienten, me quedaba bien ser el de siempre, me quedaba bien todo lo que inventen, yeah. Me quedaba bien cuando me mienten, me quedaba bien ser el de siempre, me quedaba bien todo lo que inventen, me quedaba bien, yeah, yeah, yeah. Promito el agarrarme la mano, sentir el calor de cómo todos nos miran. Que si al menos vos estás a mi lado, se me hace más fácil afrontar esa vida. Estos blancos ya quieren matarnos porque no toleran vernos tan arriba. Yo fronteando, contando lo que vivo sin tener que ponerme a hablar mentiras, hey, yeah. Y ahora vivo en la mansión, a poca cuadra mi avenida. Casi que la veo desde el balcón mientras estoy quemando porquería. Que me creo que soy el mejor al menos en estos días. Cada liga tiene su Jordan, es obvio que yo soy el de la mía. Yo no tengo seriedad, ni Nino Lombardi simpatía. Liga Italia, Serie A, ni Nicardi buena vida. Que cómo me van a bajar, si es que yo ya nací arriba. Que cómo me van a bajar, si soy dueño de la liga. Are you feeling I'm a rockstar? Yo me siento como un rockstar. Cago en puta como un rockstar. Tomo pastillas como un rockstar. For your feelings I'm a rockstar. Yo me siento como un rockstar. Cago en puta como un rockstar. Tomo pastillas como un rockstar. Rockstar. Baby, I'm a rockstar. Baby, I'm a rockstar. Yeah, yeah, yo soy un rockstar. Yeah, 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 yeah.
After Rockstar, this track we just played, Duki's career became unstoppable. He released hits, collaborated with artists across Latin America and Spain, and became the first Argentine trap artist to fill entire arenas. But behind the fame, his lyrics often reveal a different side, one that speaks of loneliness, love, and the price of success. Here's another track called Antes de Perderte, Before Losing You.
Sin ti es un año perdido. Si no me salvo de esta, lo mato a Cupido.
El camino nos separó. Cada uno elige el suyo. Y tú lo sabes más. Tú eres mía, yo soy tuyo. Esto no tiene fin. Cancela ese viaje. Esta es hecha pa' mí. Lo nuestro no se acaba ni después de la muerte. Me bajé del avión, voy corriendo para verte. Tal vez tú no te fuiste y yo tengo la suerte de hacer que me perdones antes de perderte. Un día prometimos que sería para siempre. La lealtad es algo que muchos no lo entienden. Tal vez tú no te fuiste y yo tengo la suerte de hacer que me perdones antes de perderte.
Ya, yeah. Y me acuerdo de la madrugada a 160 por la autopista. Y llegábamos al show y rompíamos el club. No había más problemas en la pista. Y me acuerdo la cara que hacía para que me ríe en medio de la entrevista. Y hacíamos el amor en lugares prohibidos, anotándolos en una lista. Fuiste vos la primera que dijo que yo había nacido para ser artista. Y también la que dijo que iba a ser un problema futuro siendo realista. De la pena y tristeza que tuve en mi vida, te hiciste cronista. El camino nos separó, cada uno elige el suyo. Y tú lo sabes más, tú eres mía, yo soy tuyo. Esto no tiene fin, cancela ese viaje. Esta es hecha pa' mí, lo nuestro no se acaba.
Antes de perderte, Before Losing You shows a more intimate Duki, emotional, vulnerable and honest. It is this mix of power and sincerity that was behind his earning respect, not only from fans, but also from musicians of every genre, from rock to reggaeton. And then came Givenchy, one of his most iconic tracks, the sound of an artist who already knows his place in the world and who represents an entire generation of Argentines breaking barriers in global music.
Puse mi mejor Jordan, un nombre italiano escrito en la correa. Los diamantes brillan con la combi nueva y me sube la nota cuando la canción suena. Te estuve buscando pero no te encontré. Necesito tu número, que alguien me lo dé. Es que quiero enseñarte un par de cosas que sé.
Más plata, más gato, más ropa, más pasto, más marca, más trato, nuevo deal, contrato, gano y lo reparto, en pedazo exacto, no se me hunde el barco, trafico y no soy narco. Tengo a los míos hablando italiano de lunes a viernes, son locos, me empata. Tengo a mis haters diciéndome basta, modo Shinobili, no erro canasta. Que se joda el sistema de casta, esfuerzo se gana y a gusto se gasta. Estábamos abajo y ahora estoy en alta, si no se corre en el Duco la plata. Me voy a poner más borracho que nunca, me fui pa' Givenchy, me gasté la funda. Le escribo una barra a mi abuela difunta, ángeles me lloran mientras que me apuntan. Los estoy bloqueando que cambien de ruta, el odio su cara, mi cuerpo disfruta. Entro al estudio con calma absoluta, los míos lo escuchan, dicen que hijo de puta. Gente funeral, voy negro como Venom, comido Belcom, soy adicto al veneno. Soy 4x4, soy todo terreno. Me dicen las bestias, para esto soy bueno. Sé frontear, pero no exagero. Llega a 100, vine desde cero. Dólares desde el extranjero. Y sé que quieran ser rapero. Más plata, más gato, más ropa, más pasto, más marca, más trato, nuevo deal, contrato, gano y lo reparto, en pedazo exacto, no se me hunde el barco, trafico y no soy narco. Me voy pa' Miami, me queda cabrón, me fui para España, me queda cabrón, me voy para Italia, me queda cabrón, es que soy un cabrón. En esta liga yo sería LeBron, el equipo más chico lo saqué campeón. Ya van 5 años que fresco que estoy, hago que parezca más viejo que yo. Querían que quiebre, querían que enferme, me puse más fuerte, me puse más jefe, me puse pa'l cheque, me puse pa'l F, lo diamante viví la zapa con refle. Si me ven creído que soy argentino, si ven mi ropero parezco italiano, cuenta más alta que Montes Andinos, si tengo más fe que todo el Vaticano. Nos llevamos todo, por eso venimos, la ropa, los culos, los kilos, los gramos. Le di 360 la vuelta al destino, subí los logramos. Mi chica también usa Jordan y le gusta pasear en la alfombra y le gusta dejarlo a la sombra. Fuck that, lo tuyo a lo mío no lo nombra. En la zapa tengo un par de cobras, le canto a la Sandra como a Donda. Espero que Kanye me responda y lo mío esperan otra ronda. Fuck that, mi chaleco Moncler es a prueba de bala. Bowling, la liga soy Dolce y en Dallas. Estamos bien, estamos trendy. Comparte, yo compro un Bentley. Si me tiran no me ofendí. Llego al hotel y no le gusta el humo, pero lo transformo en Boo Friendly.
Es el Duco, you know, ya supiste, mami. Espero que hayan disfrutado temporada de reggaetón, temporada de Diablo con mi Zoom.
That was Duki, our artist of the day today on Riot with Givenchy. And from El Quinto Escalón, the fifth step, to the stages of Madrid, Buenos Aires and Mexico City, Duki's rise tells a story of perseverance, innovation and identity. He brought a uniquely Argentine sound to the global scene, fusing emotion, street poetry and style into something truly his own.
RAI, Argentina al mundo. RAI, Argentina 面向世界.
RAI, Argentina vers le monde.
RAI, Argentina to the world.
RAI, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE Argentina al mondo.
RAE Argentinien in die Welt.
RAE Argentina al mondo.
And with that we come to the end of today's edition of RAE Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. Our sound technician for today was Walter Danesi. My name is Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening, folks. Join us tomorrow for a new show of RAE via WRMI, Miami International Radio, on the shortwaves and also via internet. Hasta mañana.